Hardcore Show on FM Talk 106.5, 35 minutes after the hour on this Friday morning. We do appreciate you listening, as always. Still to come on the program, State Senator Chris Elliott, that's about an hour from now. We'll also talk to a candidate for state auditor, Stan Cook. Join us at the 11 o'clock hour. I get him on for a few minutes, let him talk about why he is running. And then finally, as we do every Friday, our good friend April Marie Fogle of Alabama Today joins us. So make sure you stick around for all of that. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line. Keep them coming, guys. And I'll respond to them as soon as I get the opportunity. Speaking of a state auditor joining us now on the line, very pleased to bring on my next guest, Jim Ziegler, our current state auditor. Jim, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Fine. Thank you. Not looking forward to all this weather coming into Alabama, but we will get through it as we always have.
Well, yeah, I think we're no stranger to these circumstances at all, that's for sure.
Well, no, we're not. And some of the irony is that on a day in which this tropical system is moving into not only our Gulf Coast, but it's expected to go throughout Alabama, the state employees have been told they can stay home. And they weren't told that until mid-afternoon yesterday.
Right.
So,
well, let's
anything.
Let me do a quick reset real quick here. Juneteenth, signed into law by Joe Biden, and then shortly thereafter, Governor Kay Ivey signing, a memo or a proclamation declaring it a state holiday as well. And you seem to take a little bit of an issue with that, right?
Well, I do. The legislature could have taken this up in the expected special sessions or in the January regular session and could have started this day next year without the disruption. And that is, if you even assume that June 19th has historical significance beyond other dates that we know about. But what she did was to she's a candidate. She's a candidate for re-election, announced candidate. And she took advantage of the situation and the publicity to get brownie points with the state employees who naturally like to have paid off days. Now, it's paid by us, the taxpaying public. And there were people with appointments with the state agencies today. There were court appearances with state employees going to them and being involved in them. And this is an unbusinesslike way to do business. Can you imagine if a major business in town announced in mid-afternoon, oh, well, we're going to close tomorrow and all of our employees get a paid holiday and any customers that were coming in or had appointments, that's too bad. This is simply pandering for the political reelection campaign.
Well, do you believe that she has that authority or that ability to declare this a holiday or declare this to close the state government, or does it require an act of the legislature?
To make it a formal holiday, such as July 4th, Christmas, Thanksgiving, and others, it takes action by the Alabama legislature. To make it a recurring holiday takes the legislation. So if the legislature does not do anything or votes it down, then she could do a one-timey a year from now, as she did this time. That happens usually when, say, Christmas is on Friday and the governor will suddenly declare, well, Thursday the state's going to be off, and this helps business and allows another shopping day. And that's when we usually see this. Or on Thanksgiving, she'll wait and declare Thanksgiving Friday will be an off day. But to just use her power and circumvent the legislature, we have seen more circumvention of the legislature by this Ivy administration than I can remember in my entire long life. She didn't go to the legislature on the toll bridge that she tried to put on Mobile Bay. She didn't go to the legislature on this prison scheme that she tried to thrust through, and by the grace of God, we were able to kill that thing. And every time that there's no checks and balances, nobody holding the Ivey administration accountable, it's not a good thing. It's not a good end result. Even if someone believes that June 19th should be a paid holiday with the workers off, paid by the taxpayers, even if someone believes that, the way that she went about it was just political gameplay.
Well, tell me this. Right now, she looks to be cruising to another term as governor. And here would be my concern. I don't think she's done a terrible job, but you're right about this. She's willing to go around the legislature whenever possible. And that's a little troubling in this, but without an opponent, without a serious contender, here's the fear. She gets reelected, and it's not really even a contest, and it's going to seem like she's going to have this mandate to continue more of this, if not even, not just continue it, but do more of it, and do more of the go it alone approach on a lot of different important issues that may confront the state going forward. How important is it for Governor Ivey to have at least some kind of opponent in the 2022 election cycle?
I believe it's very important for the Alabama taxpayers and for state government and for our future to have a viable opponent who has been raising issues and trying to hold the Ivey administration accountable. And that is why that I am considering myself setting up an exploratory campaign to test the waters for a gubernatorial run. Who else is there out there? Who else took the lead in blocking the toll bridge over Mobile Bay? Who else took the lead in blocking Amendment 1 that would have taken away your right to vote for school board members and have them all appointed by the governor? Who else took the lead in blocking this prison rental plan that would have had us paying over $3 billion over 30 years and then owning zero equity in the prisons? A terrible business plan. I don't know. If not me, then who?
Well, and there's a bunch of different things that we could talk about, I think issues that are important, one of which is, you mentioned it, the I-10 Mobile Bay Bridge and the plan they had that didn't work out. There's a bunch of different plans on the table. There's a truck bridge. Kind of give us your assessment of what you think, how you think that is going. What do you think of some of the ideas that are being floated out there right now?
The ability of ALDOT to go forward with the planning phase and pre-engineering and to put together a comprehensive plan has now been approved. It has taken the first step by being put back on the transportation infrastructure plan, the TIP, by the Mobile Metropolitan Planning Organization and the Eastern Shore MPO. So they're going to go forward with putting together the plan. Now, that also means that they're going to be going forward with spending taxpayer money on the planning and engineering phase. And at some point, they'll come back with a proposal. There are a lot of ideas coming forth, mostly from the Eastern Shore MPO. The current idea from ALDOT is to build a trucks-only bridge, and only trucks over 46 feet would pay the toll. There are problems with that, and you and I know that the additional truck cost will be passed on to the consumers, so that all consumers in this area would end up paying for that. It wouldn't be simply absorbed by the trucking company. And consequently, the Trucking Association was the only major player that weighed in against the plan. I am perplexed as to what they're going to come up with because of this. No one is taking the lead in a bipartisan effort to get federal money from this infrastructure money, from this stimulus money, or any other source. The Biden administration is coming with an infrastructure plan, and yet we don't see anybody, no one in Congress, no one on the state level saying when certain a number of billions of dollars come to Alabama, and it will, that this I-10 bridge should be a priority. It's a hurricane evacuation route. It is a major route of commerce and source of revenue. Who's taking the lead in a bipartisan effort to get some of that money to build that bridge without a toll? Well, I think the obvious answer is that nobody is, and that's a shame. And I may make that a plank in my platform to run for governor if I pull the trigger and decide that I need to run.
Joined by State Auditor Jim Ziegler here on the program. Just one quick question on the bridge and the idea of a truck bridge. You know, we've been dealing with this problem down in this part of the state for 100 years, trying to figure out how to get from one side of the bay to the other. And there's been ferries, there's been the Concord Bridge, and then the Causeway, and then the Bankhead Tunnel, and then the Wallace Tunnel, and now this proposal, and then I guess you could throw in the New Africa Town Concord Bridge. Every few decades or so, there has to be some kind of remedy, and this truck bridge, it seems to me, is not something that's going to be a long-lasting solution. And whatever solution that the policymakers put forward, they've always been kind of short-term thinking. In the goal, I would hope, the aspiration, I would hope, would be some kind of a long-term, something that's going to last longer than 10, 15 years before we have to revisit this problem once again.
Well, yes, there is. There's nobody that thinks, well, we don't need to do anything to the Bayway or the transit from Mobile to Bowen County. We do need to do something. And there are a number of options that could be done. The problem is we just got a gasoline tax increase put on us by the Ivey administration and the state legislature under Ivey's leadership. It's supposed to be for roads and bridges. And yet they're not using 1 cent of that increase, not 1 cent, for this I-10 problem. And if they would take a certain portion of the increase and bond it, they could fix the I-10 bayway. If you add that to this $125 million that we already got in a grant and some of the infrastructure money that is coming, you can put this together. Who is working on such a plan? Nobody.
Jim, finally, we got a couple more minutes here, but you're not running for state auditor. You just mentioned that you got an exploratory effort going for governor. You're looking at it. But there's just a bunch of people lining up. Your wife won, potentially might make a run for that office. We got another announced candidate, Stan Cook, coming up on the program. Andrew Sorrell from the Shoals, I think, is going to formally announce on Monday that he's running for auditor. Anybody seeking that office, what advice would you give them? What do you think about where that position, where it may be headed in the future?
Well, for the last year, some of my supporters and some of my critics have been saying, you added a dimension that wasn't there, and that is beyond the property inventories to make the state auditor a monitor of waste and mismanagement and corruption in Montgomery. It's been very valuable having that, and we don't need to lose that. We need to keep that, and that is the reason that some of those same supporters started a draft movement to draft my wife, Jackie Ziegler, who is the elected school board member for the seven counties of Southwest Alabama. And she'll be making a decision sometime between now and the deadline of January 28th, 7 months away. And it's quite an interesting idea that she could carry on what I started, and it was just a start, the last two terms.
Jim, we got to leave it there. We're up against a break, but I certainly do appreciate you making time for us, and maybe we could talk again real soon.
Well, thank you. Thank you so very much, and happy Juneteenth Day to all of you and your listeners.
Happy Juneteenth to you as well. State Auditor Jim Ziegler on the program. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5.
Simply be a single drop of rain.